Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is Hagman. Welcome to Hagman. It is Hagman Report for today. It is Friday, the seventh day. I wonder how many times I can say Hagman. Can I do that like a whole bunch of times? Eric the Tech, what do you think?
Yeah,
you
got a brand. Welcome to Hagman.
Hey, welcome
to
Hagman.
Hagman.
Yeah, Doug. I'm glad it's the weekend, man. I'm going to tell you, my brain's fried. Look, I got a great segment for you. Incredible segment, actually. I want to explain, I want to take a kind of a deep dive into the transhumanist element of what we're seeing take place. The artificial intelligence aspect, the, shall we say, the bigger picture. Okay, because, you know, look, we all know masks are mind control devices, really, okay, in terms of people wearing them and such. Look, if it makes you feel good, wear it, right? Is that, in a sense, well, not really, because that is, you're only wearing them because of a fear that you've got, and you're attempting to handle that fear by wearing a mask, which, you know, look, I'm not saying that there's nothing to be afraid of, but masks are certainly not the way to handle that, but or your virtue signaling. So one of the two, right? But that's really kind of a shallow kind of subject, because what's really at the heart of everything we're seeing is this. And I've talked about and I've written about this before. Eric the Tech, do you remember my, you know, you don't have to remember. In fact, never mind. Folks, I wrote an article some time ago, Life is Like a Box of Chocolates, that got into DNA. The DNA of the bloodlines, if you will, of the so-called globalist corporate, what they consider themselves the elite. I shouldn't say corporate, but the globalist. And I was thinking about that, and I took a lot of heat about that. In fact, people made fun of me for that, right? Which was really interesting. And not that they made fun of me, but who really had problems with that? But
your feelings hurt?
No, you know what? I don't actually. My wife said to me, "This is true." Yesterday, she said, "You know, I don't think you have feelings." Can you see her saying that to me?
No.
I don't think you have feeling. And sometimes you just get numb to, if like emails. Okay. So you disagree with me. Okay. So you want to kill me. No, you want to kick my dog. Don't you dare go there.
You have feelings. Body and mouth pain.
Oh, man. Yeah.
It's 20 degrees out today, so.
Oh,
I'm sure your joints are great. So you do have feeling.
Yeah, feeling. You know, I slept for like 3.5 hours, okay? And I was up pretty much all night. But, excuse me. Anyway, it's a long story. I was on the phone. People wouldn't believe it. 3-4 in the morning, I was on the phone. I'm talking to other people who were awake at that time in their time zones. But anyway, I put together this segment. Yeah, get on with it, Doug. Get to the point. I put together this, and I think that this is pretty telling. You know, I had mentioned in past programs about Wellcome Trust with two L's. Wellcome with two L's. Remember that? I had mentioned Regina Dugan, or as some call her, Regina Dugan. I had mentioned just this week, I think, InQtel, which is the CIA front hedge group, if you will, associated with Regina Dugan, or Regina Dugan associated with InQtel. And I had talked about DARPA. I want to get into this a little bit, and I want to... A little more than a little bit, and I want to tell you um, I'm going to kind of tell you what I think is part of the bigger picture. Look, I think the bigger picture has an assembly of parts. And the bigger picture is bigger than you and I would normally think in areas that we don't think about. Because when's the last time you thought about, I'm just trying to think of something very perverse and grotesque. And even if I thought of it, I couldn't verbalize it. But you know, when you are in that lane, that field, that vein of grotesque and perverse, normal people don't go there. Godly people don't go there. Christians don't normally go there. I say normally because some people say they're Christian and they go there but so it's difficult to think. And this was an issue I had too in fighting with Russ's team and Russ. And I really had a hard time really in my mind understanding, for example, understanding cannibalism as a ritual. And then you see these parties where you have women that are posed a certain way, okay, and they're used as tables. I won't get too graphic. Or you have human-like figures made of cake, for example. That suggests a cannibal-type activity. Then you've got people like Marina Abramovic, or Abramovic, however you want to pronounce her last name. And the normal mind does not just gravitate to stuff like that. So when I mention about, for example, this transhumanist agenda, because we're talking about here this week, I guess the culmination of this week has been treason and toxicity. The treason stuff, which we dealt with yesterday, and I'm just going to kind of take a slight diversion. Yesterday, it was all January 6, 2021, all of the time across the networks. And by the way, if you didn't see Tucker Carlson take Ted Cruz, at least ceremonially, to the woodshed, you missed, you know, I would urge you watching that. And say what you will, you know, I mean, it's Ted Cruz tried to talk himself or talk his way out of what he said about calling the January 6th protesters at the Capitol terrorists. I don't think he made it. I don't think he did too well. That's just my view, but it's all over the news. I'm not going to play it. But I would urge you in this segment to look at the bigger picture. Now, I'm going to start out with, here's one, again, one aspect of this. Now people are going to say, well, you know, and I agree in a sense with this. They'll say, you know, this whole thing is crazy enough. We don't have to go out there. We don't have to go there. Well, let's go there. Where's there? There was a recent report by Greg Reese, as a matter of fact, about the potential for nanoparticles or evidence of self-assembling nanocircuitry in the Pfizer vaccine. All right, now look, I don't have a laboratory. I don't have a microscope. I can't get down to, look, I don't know, but I do know people that do. And I have not personally verified this information. So take this for what it's worth, but that's not the point. The point is the bigger picture here, and that's not going to change. Verifiable facts, which I'll give to you. If we can, just for openers, play source A starting at the 250 mark. This is from Greg Reese's segment about evidence of self-assembling nanocircuitry. I'll talk in the Pfizer vaccine. Go ahead and hit that.
Pfizer ran a research and development facility. Elon Musk expects to be implanting his Neuralink into human beings this year, and claims that they could put you fully into virtual reality, as if this is somehow important for humanity. For humanity, it isn't. But for the transhumanist, it's a necessity. And if you listen to the psychopaths orchestrating all of this, transhumanism is officially their stated goal. And they won't need Elon's implantable chip. With injectable nano-sized circuitry in the human brain and nervous system, non-intrusive wearable tech will do the job just fine. And this is rapidly being developed by Wellcome Leap, a privately run umbrella corporation connecting DARPA, Silicon Valley, and the military, who has tripled their network in less than a year, boasting success for the deadly mRNA vaccines and pushing to accelerate new ones designed to correct every so-called flaw of the human psyche that stands in the way of productivity to an authoritarian state run by artificial intelligence that monitors and controls their neurological functions 24/7. This is exactly what they say they want by the year 2030. So either the vaccines are a way of interfacing the new transhuman with AI technology, or they're lying, and it's all about depopulation. Which is what the latest data is showing. Natural News recently estimated billions of deaths.
It can be both, right? It can be both. We know that there are 33 different batches of this, what they're calling a vaccine. We know that. So it can be both. Go ahead and I just want to say it's not mutually exclusive. Go ahead and continue.
If it isn't stopped in the next year. It obviously isn't about public health. And whether it's about depopulation or transhumanism, it is a threat to all of humanity. We could ponder until the end about why anyone would want to do this. But the real question is, why are we letting them? Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
All right. And I want to thank Greg Reese. I want to thank InfoWars for being at the tip of the spear on this as well. Now, don't laugh at this, because is there something to this? I received a call from just a tremendous physician. I'm not going to go any further than that, except to say I really appreciate what he does, and I appreciate his vigilance on this. And I've been getting fed information. And I've been comparing other information to his to others, and that's how we do things. And he called me earlier in the week and said, you know what? We got these new tests in, these new PCR tests, which we have to send off to the laboratories. You know, like here, we've got Quest Labs and wherever you might be, different laboratories processes. But he said the first batch of tests, the PCR tests that they ran on this group that came in today, one day, not today, but one day. And when I say group of people, I'm talking about everyone that came in that day. 100% positive. 100% positive. And he said, that's statistically impossible. And I agree with that. Because some were there just because, I'm going to be taking a trip next week and I got to get tested. I don't know if they sound like that, but 100%. More coming in from other places I've talked to. 100% positive. Now look, I don't know. Statistically, is that even possible? And I'm talking about two different parts of the country, two different days, two different batches. What's going on? All right. The doctor also took that same test, PCR test, and had it tested, and that tested positive. Testing the test. Well, again, for what it's worth, anecdotal evidence, but again, the anecdotal part of it, but nonetheless, you have enough of that, kind of like circumstantial evidence. Circumstantial evidence is circumstantial evidence, but you have enough of circumstantial evidence, you can certainly make a point, or you can draw a conclusion from that circumstantial evidence. The more you have, the stronger it gets. All right, let's talk about Wellcome Trust, Wellcome Leap that you saw in that video. All the source videos, all the clips that I'm using, pages and such, will be at HagmanReport.com. Open up the episode, look at the information in the episode. There will be the links to what I'm talking about. Now, Regina Dugan, Wellcome Trust, Wellcome Leap, InQtel, and DARPA. Let's address DARPA just for a moment. DARPA was created back in the late 50s. They actually, DARPA is responsible for creating the internet by building ARPANET, that grid. And in 1969, well, that was in 69, I should say, they developed also, if you want to know, like in your cars, on your phones, who developed the GPS system? DARPA. They developed stealth bombers, weather satellites, and even unmanned drones. DARPA does that. Did you know that DARPA also, since 2008-2010, funded gain of function work with viruses? DARPA did. What the hell's DARPA doing? Funding gain of function work by way of EcoHealth Alliance in Wuhan. In 2017, DARPA laundered some $6.5 million through Peter Daszak's EcoHealth Alliance to fund experiments at the Wuhan lab and, unsurprisingly, at Fort Detrick. Did you know that 4 years before that, in 2013, DARPA began funding the key technologies for the Moderna vaccine, the mRNA structures? The DARPA, again, think about this. In 2013, 6 years before the breakout of this pathogen, they were funding the key technologies for the Moderna vaccine, as it's called, the vaccine. In 2002, and this is where the transhumanist agenda and what we're seeing today kind of mirrors up. In 2002, DARPA began this massive data mining operation. And they did this under Reagan's National Security Advisor, Admiral John Poindexter. Of course, this is long after Reagan, but is under John Poindexter. That led to the creation of Facebook. Okay, you following this? Eric the Tech, am I doing okay? Yeah. So, all right, yeah. Don't patronize me like that. You can come and walk over there.
You don't have feelings.
That's true. I've got nerve centers, but not feelings. Yeah, so again, in 2013, they began funding or financing the key technologies for the Moderna vaccine. 2017, they laundered $6.5 million through EcoHealth Alliance to fund the experimentations at the Wuhan lab in Fort Detrick. But years before, in 2002, they began this massive data mining operation under Reagan's National Security Advisor, Admiral John Poindexter. You know, he's a Poindexter. That led to the creation of Facebook. That was 02. And now, during that time as well, DARPA was running a program called LifeLog. And you can look this up, LifeLog. LifeLog, one word. It's a project that involved some MIT contractors, and this was a data mining operation that was running concurrent with the massive data mining operation under Poindexter. So in February 2004, what came about in February 2004? It really came about. Facebook. Zuckerberg. In February 2004, DARPA shut down LifeLog, their massive data mining operation. Facebook started. So you people on Facebook sharing your family photos and family stuff, and oh, it's okay. I just share the family stuff. You're contributing to a data mining operation. All right, so what, you might say? So flipping what? I got nothing to hide. There's nothing they can get from me. All right, hang on. Let's go to clip number one. This clip number one, I'm going to set this up. How governments get ready for the unthinkable. Now, this was a long presentation, and this was done in 2016. And this is part of, let me see, the World Government Summit. Now, I had to watch this entire thing myself. I wanted to scratch my eyes and plug my ears. I want you to take a look at this. And make sure you take a look at, I think this was a KKK meeting. Yeah, I'm kidding, of course. Just look at the audience. You'll get it when you see it. But this is done in 2016. This was a meeting of various governments. This is part of the this is a World Government Summit. Think World Government. Think the worst on this. And this is Peter Schwartz talking. Now, you'll know Peter Schwartz if you read RFK Jr.'s book, The Real Fauci, but this guy is, whatever. Let's start that clip at where I marked it, at about 26 minutes roughly plus into this 31-minute video. Listen to this.
Now, a crazy surprise that everyone say, well, that can't possibly happen would be a Trump presidency, right? Can anybody here imagine what it would be like if Donald Trump were president? Well, that seems entirely implausible. It's a surprise, right? Everybody's laughing. Oh, it would be a nightmare, not a dream. But it's not impossible. I don't think it's very likely. Maybe I'm in denial. Maybe I'm hoping. But nevertheless, one must to think about this man is leading the polls in the United States. It's not impossible that he could be the next president of the United States. It seems crazy, but in thinking about surprise, it's one that lies out there.
All right, pause that for a second. Okay, so you heard what he said. I actually didn't have to start it that early, but I did because the globalists never wanted to see Trump in there. Now, this guy that you see pictured on the screen right there, Peter Schwartz, as part of the World Government Summit, and part of his organization. It's interesting because he interviewed Klaus Schwab and other leaders. He interviewed Hillary Clinton. They thought Hillary is going to be a lock in 2016. Now, contextualize that. Oh, you know, my God, it's going to be impossible. It can't be that Trump's going to get in. He's not one of our people. He ain't one of us. Okay, now listen to what he said, because what he's referring to here is potential surprises for the next few years. And that the next to the last included a Trump presidency or possibilities or whatever, however they framed it. Now, here is the final one, and this is kind of where I wanted you to really pay attention. Listen to this. Go ahead.
Remarkable next door here, the Museum of the Future. It's quite wonderful. I urge you to go take a look at it. And two of the things you will see there are two of the biggest surprises you can already see coming. Human enhancement, first of all. That is, better human beings. I mentioned earlier the CRISPR genetic technology that allows us to edit genes. Within a few years, we will start eliminating all of the genetic diseases of humankind. And your children's children will have none of those diseases. We are going to make people who are stronger, better, larger, smarter, and so on. And we're already part of the way there. I'm part cyborg. I had cataracts in both of my eyes and have had both of my lenses replaced over time. I now have the eyes of a 5-year-old. I wore glasses since I was 7 years old, and my tennis game has never been better. I can see the ball coming off my opponent. A year ago, I had my right hip replaced, and it's an iOS 9 operating system. But I'm now part cyborg. I'm a better human being than I was 3 years ago. And every year I'm going to get better still. As I said, my tennis game has never been better at age 69. So we're going to see old people who don't look and feel as old as they used to, because we're going to enhance their abilities. But soon we'll start enhancing young people's abilities, biologically, genetically, and with drugs. And I'll tell you something that will shock you. That is that before too long, your children will be taking drugs for school. Neural drugs that improve their memory, that improve their cognitive functioning, that improve their vision, and so on, because we're already developing those drugs for people who have problems, old people like me, to improve cognitive functioning, to improve vision, to improve memory, etc.
All right, you can stop it. See, okay, he paints this out to be this panacea, this way for him now. You say, I'm a cyborg. Look, and listening at home, you might say, well, gee, I had cataract surgery. Yeah, I had various surgeries, hip replacement, whatever you might say. That's nothing wrong with that. You would be right. Absolutely right if they stopped there. But they're not stopping there. You heard them talking about the children. You heard them talking about this enhancement. They want to live forever. Meanwhile, they want you to die. That's the other part that they don't tell you. They paint this rosy picture. Oh, we can cure disease. Don't you think that they probably have a cure for some types of cancers? Huh? Oh, no. Yeah. Do you think that they're withholding cures? I believe that they are. Now, let me take this back to Regina Dugan, the DARPA darling here. She moved to Google from DARPA in 2010 and then to Facebook in 2016, where she headed up a project called Building 8. Did you ever hear about this? There is no Building 8 at Facebook. There's a project called Building 8, and you're going to see. As a matter of fact, let's see here. Yes, exhibit one, if you can put that up on the screen. I'm going to tell you what. Here's the thing. Facebook and others will say, well, this initiative never really took, or it crashed and burned or whatever. No. Because when you start getting into the ideas behind this Building 8, and you start looking at the objectives and you start looking at, things, you're going to find that, oh, wait a second, this happened to be a success. It didn't crash and burn like they said. So in 2016, Regina Dugan, and you can put this on the screen when you have a chance, exhibit the one. I know it's kind of noisy. There it is right there. How DARPA seeded the ground for rapid COVID-19 cure. Now, this was published in 2020. That's actually exhibit two, but that's okay. We'll deal with that, I think. Or wait a minute. Or did I? Oh, wait, is that clip three? What did I do here? No. Hold on a second. Did I screw up? Okay, it's coming up on my link here, okay. This will be exhibit one. Google's head, Regina Dugan, joins Facebook to start DARPA Inspire team. There we go. That's it. That's the ticket. All right, there it is on your screen, folks. Read this. Again, this goes to a... What the heck date is that? That's a 2016 article. The same year that she joined Facebook. This is about Building 8. That's what this is really talking about. Now, this gets into this data mining and using Facebook as the instrument to build this data center and to be a facilitation method and device to use or to integrate the transhumanist agenda into the population. Because don't forget, Regina Dugan was into data mining, was into the COVID-19, creation and funding of gain of function, as well as funding some vaccines for Moderna throughout the years. So naturally, this is an extension. So the data part of this, now she's moved over to Facebook, which she's no longer there. Now she's at Welcome Leap, which is a division of Wellcome Trust, two L's on that. And folks, you can research Wellcome Leap and Wellcome Trust. I'm going to tell you what, Wellcome Leap is a subsidiary of Wellcome Trust, a project initiative of Wellcome Trust. But I will say this, this is a rabbit hole that you will just, it'll blow your mind. All right, so let me get back to this. You can see where because people mentioned about, well, the creation of this gain of function, this bioweapon's been going on for years. Well, I'm showing you that it has, and they've been working on mRNA technology, perfecting it for the transhumanist ideology, or to push the transhumanist agenda. And transhumanism, the integration of humans and machines, has been called the greatest threat to humanity. But they've been pushing this. And the people behind this include Microsoft, Bill Gates, Facebook, Elon Musk, just saying. And you remember Paul McGuire, who's been with us, good friend of the program, talks about Raymond Kurzweil, who's the Google engineering director. Raymond Kurzweil, big proponent of this. And Peter Thiel, however you want to pronounce his name, big part of the push for transhumanism. Okay. Now, with that in mind, let's go to clip two. And I know we're running short on this segment. Clip two. And if Austin Brower is here, just I want him to see this too. Let's go to clip number two, start at about 11:15 here. This is an interview between the guy you saw earlier, Peter Schwartz, and Klaus Schwab in the same setting. And I believe this is, I think 2016 roughly, because earlier in this conversation, again, I had to watch the whole thing, which, you know, hurts. This is a Salesforce conversation. The Salesforce is an organization. This, I believe, was during Hillary Clinton's candidacy, because even before that, in the earlier in that day, they interviewed Hillary Clinton as a candidate. But go ahead and start it at where I mentioned here at 11 and change. Go ahead.
Society and possible conflicts.
So, you know, when you think about the kind of challenges that the world faces today, climate change, internet,
in hand.
And, you know, I think this is one of the divides that, you know, when C.P. Snow wrote about the divide between the world of the arts and the sciences, that there's been this sense that somehow these are two separate things.
No, and I see a merger.
Exactly.
If you look at brain technology, if you look at some of the new devices, I think what we are doing is combining in some way the brains with our souls and with our hearts.
Exactly right. A good friend is a neurobiologist, David Eagleman, and he writes about neurobiology and the law. You know, frankly, most of our law comes from the Bible, and now we're actually learning, you know, what leads to criminal behavior? How can you fix it? Neurobiology is actually teaching us a lot about things like that.
If you combine, let's say, brain research with big data,
yes,
you have fantastic new areas with tremendous applications.
Well, and you know, you talked about it this morning in education, and Hillary talked about it. What we're learning about how children really, really learn, how adults learn, frankly.
But it emphasizes the need for social inclusion. And when we talk about social inclusion, it starts with what we talked about this morning. It starts with early childhood. It starts with the kindergarten. If you do not have access to all those tremendous opportunities the new world is offering us, then you may create a situation where we have so much a socially divided society and possible conflicts.
All right, you can stop right there.
So, you know, when you think about the kind of challenges that the world...
Okay, so this is Peter Schwartz. Now, again, the same guy you saw earlier, talking to Klaus Schwab, you know... I can't even do the, accent. Now, Peter Schwartz, I should note that he mentioned pre-crime there. All right. Now, Schwartz was a big contributor to the movie, the Minority Report. All right. Not the book, but he was also an associate of the author of Minority Report. Name escapes me. I apologize. In fact, his His widow was, if she's listening, I hope you're doing well. Oh, come on. Never mind. You get the idea. But see, now they're going for the children. Okay. They're talking openly about this transhumanism. It's not us being so-called conspiracy theorists. No. They're talking about transhumanism changing, making having brain implants, for example, as a surveillance, for surveillance purposes, but also for control purposes. And they mentioned specifically the young, the children. They mentioned that specifically. And I'm going to skip the one on, I'll skip Regina Dugan. That's fine. I had a clip of Regina Dugan talking about the COVID vaccines, which somewhat substantiated the potential of having some sort of nanotechnology built into the to the shots. Not all of them, some of them. But I want to show the last exhibit, exhibit number two. And again, all of these links will be at HagmanReport.com. And I'm going to have Austin Brower take a look at this as well. This is a leap toward humanity's destruction. Now, this is dated 6/25/21 or June 25th, 2021. And there it is on the screen. And basically, this is an expose of Wellcome Trust, which I just talked about, which is teamed up with a pair of former DARPA directors who built Silicon Valley's Skunk Works to usher in an age of nightmarish surveillance, including for babies as young as 3 months old. Folks, they're going for babies not yet born, still in the womb. This is a UK nonprofit. And the one commonality this has with other, this organization has with other organizations, is the SARS-CoV-2 and the vaccine. Again, I use that word loosely, protocol and platform. So I said all of that to say this. In 2015, Wired magazine, which has really been the promo side of transhumanism, embracing it and promoting something called neurodiversity, has also began promoting transhumanism. As I just showed you, all right, this is the thrust that we're headed towards. The World Government Summit, which you just saw, which I played, by the way, in 2016, it was held in Dubai. That's why I made that KKK comment. It had 3,000 participants from 125 countries. And guess who gave the keynote speech there? The guy who wanted the fundamental change of America, Barack Hussein Obama, in 2016. And of course, Klaus Schwab was there as well. But I should note this, Wired magazine, which is also the propaganda mouthpiece for the global governance, the neurodiversity has multiple agendas, including, believe it or not, and this is where RFK comes in, RFK Jr. comes in, the denial of autism, the denial that vaccines caused autism, and attempting to normalize things, childhood problems like autism, to normalize that. What are they trying to do with our children today? They're trying to normalize the wearing of face masks, for one thing. That's the most obvious thing. And of course, with the injections and such, you're not dumb. And they're also pushing under neurodiversity that every single vaccine, past and present and future, 100% safe. And they, part of their stated objective or unstated objective, Wired magazine now, is to call anyone who criticizes vaccines or what is being sold as vaccines as, and I quote, crackpots. And of course, pushing for transhumanism and the integration for the benefit of all mankind. So when you take a look at what the injections are and you see people getting beat on the streets, as Austin Brower and I have talked about, none of this has to do anything with health. It's all about making this circle of global leaders, this elite group. They think they're elite. They're a bunch of punks. They're a bunch of friggin' punks. In fact, Eric the Tech, I know, Austin, hang on just 1 second. Okay, hang on. Can you pull up Alex Jones from yesterday real quick? Because I want to get to Austin here. I don't want to take his time. Ted Nugent was on. Austin, hang on. Can you do that? 2858. Go to 2858. Now, he's talking about, Ted Nugent came on. He's talking about 1-6. He's talking about the leaders and such. If you can start at 2850. I'm sorry, I didn't send you the link. I didn't send any of this to you. Folks, listen to this. Austin, check this out. It's on band.video. It should be, can't find it? All right. Yeah. To the 2858 mark. That's all right. We're going to talk amongst ourselves, folks. It makes good radio, right? Austin's saying, what the hell? What about me? Hang on. And Austin, you and I can kind of get worked up together over this. Austin Brower, healthmasters.com. By the way, folks, this is what you need to do right now. Okay, well, while Eric's teeing this up and Austin's saying, come on, man. Kind of in his Joe Biden voice. Come on, man. All right. In this fake soundstage with the fake snow out the fake window. Healthmasters.com. If you don't go there and start ordering products, I'm going to come down there and I'm going to slap you upside the head. Okay. I'm going to tell you, folks, you need to do this for your own good, for your immune system. Just invest. In fact, invest all you can into these nutritional products at healthmasters.com. Please don't make me come down there and slap you upside the head, because I will. But no, I'm being serious. The best on the planet, healthmasters.com. Let's listen to this and we'll bring Austin on because I'm already over his time. Here's Ted Nugent.
Sacred United States of America. And here's what happened on January 6th. President Trump did a speech and a presentation and had a rally with good conservative families supporting God, family, country, Constitution, Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence, that man in the arena work ethic that has created the greatest quality of life in the history of the world. Then Ray Epps and a bunch of other saboteurs, a bunch of other provocateurs, federal protected provocateurs, organized a rally. Well, it was supposed to be a peaceful protest, but those that created violence, those that turned it into a riot, those were Black Lives Matter punks, those were Antifa punks, and those were Federal Bureau of Investigation, James Comey, J. Edgar Hoover punks that perpetrated all the violence, all the violent activity, dressed in Trump regalia. Who the hell doesn't know this?
All right. And the reason I want to play that is because that very same infrastructure that commanded that the foot soldiers commanded the FBI and such to execute this, that very same infrastructure or the very same people executing the agenda against you and I. I'm sorry, Austin. Come on board, brother. Thanks for joining me today, and thanks for your patience. I apologize for taking your time.
Oh, you're good as always, Doug. It's great to be on the show and jump right into it. You're exactly right. We've talked about this. There were numerous individuals that were extremely, extremely influential in that situation and pretty much trying to incite as much violence as they could, incite as much instigation. And the vast majority of the individuals that basically came up into the Capitol were simply kind of following the crowd. That doesn't make it an okay thing if they started to vandalize things or break a window or break a door. I've never endorsed that type of behavior. But again, in most cases, majority of the people that went up in there were really just kind of following the crowd of everybody going up in there. The vast majority of the individuals that actually initiated breaking entry and so forth, pretty much the worst crimes there, you know, trespassing and vandalism. It's interesting because you haven't seen anybody actually get charged with insurrection. Nothing like that. Everybody's got these minor charges. In most cases, they're like trespassing on federal property and stupid stuff like that. Yet we still have a lot of the people that got arrested. They're still sitting in jail. not even given pretrial release. Doug, there's people that out there that end up being in vehicular manslaughter crimes with alcohol-related incidents, people that are on rape charges that get up bail, that are allowed to basically bond out of jail the next very day if they post bail. You have these individuals that are completely denied bail, being held the entire time, currently to this day. Some of the individuals, I remember the one guy down here in Florida, he had the FBI kick in his front door at 5 a.m., drag him out in the middle of the basically early morning and expedite him up basically to D.C. And they charged him with trespassing on a federal grounds. That was his giant charge. That's why the FBI had nothing else to do besides come into Florida and extradite somebody out of their house in the middle of the night with a no-knock search warrant. This has become way, way more than just any type of political coup or insurrection or any type of other words that these people want to describe this as. It was a completely and totally orchestrated event by the FBI that coaxed a lot of Americans into the Capitol building that they have now used as an excuse. I saw earlier on NBC, they're now comparing this incident to the Holocaust footage. The Holocaust footage. I said, are you joking me right now? The Capitol riots, the videos, it's equal to the Holocaust. I'm like, Whoa, where are we going with this now? Are we just going to start picking the most detrimental, most horrific incidences in recorded history? And we're going to say this incident where people walked into the Capitol building and basically protested and stole a podium and walked out and broke a couple windows. This is now the worst atrocity that's ever occurred on American soil. Let's not forget about the plus 2,000 lives that were killed during 9/11. When we had the CIA and Mossad working together with Saudi Arabia to allow individuals to fly planes under the Twin Towers and drop them on New York. Now, we're going to compare that incident with Pearl Harbor with the January 6th. Now, here's the problem. This is what they're doing, Doug, from a psychological standpoint, the very basis of what's going on. The same thing that Gottlieb said, Goebbels, Joseph Goebbels, in World War II, the Nazi prime minister of propaganda. If you say a lie long enough and you make the lie big enough, eventually everybody will begin to believe the lie. The history books that we currently now have over the last 10 to 20 years of history are no longer true history books anymore. They are basically completely and totally manipulated, propagandized history that in most cases isn't even in books anymore. They're on Kindle, they're online, they're on digital platforms and so forth. Hard copy bound books are starting to go the way of the cassette tape. They really are, as sadly as that is. Now, of course, there's a lot of hard books still out there, but a lot of that stuff is disappearing. What's happened is incidences that occurred in history, whether it be the 90s, 80s, 70s, so forth, they were always recorded on hard books. There was no other option. So you had recorded history put in writing, in ink on paper and recorded. And as long as they were at least for the most part moderately accurate, they could be given around to the general populace, to the schools, to the colleges, and people would actually learn about current recorded history. And they would say, okay, this is what happened this time. Now, of course, there was stuff that was propagandized. You had the newspaper and some of the stuff was manipulated. But for the most part, a lot of the information was factual. What we have now here is the modern day book burning where you don't even have to burn books anymore. You can come in and you simply manipulate what goes on digital theater. So you can go in and you can ban certain things from being online. You can simply downregulate them on Google. You can make sure that Amazon doesn't list them online. You can make sure they get zero hits and zero basically algorithm platforms so nobody sees them. And simply rewrite your own digital history. This is what they're doing right now with January 6th. They're coupling in Trump supporters, patriots, constitutionalists, Americans, freedom lovers, Christians, all under the umbrella of the January 6th protest. And they're calling it an insurrection right up there with 9/11 and basically with Pearl Harbor. Now, everybody that's an American, pretty much that's an awake American, knows this is a complete and total hatchet job, and it's almost all an orchestrated lie that the FBI was directly involved in. Here's the kicker. Exactly what you showed earlier with Schwab when he was talking about the younger children. What they're going to do now with these younger children is they're going to keep telling them this. This event now, January 6th, is going to be put into the school systems in history on their digital platforms. This is going to be taught every single year, every single semester, that this was a domestic terrorist right-wing insurrection attack on the Capitol, and they tried to overthrow the United States of America with a coup. They're going to continue to couple Trump supporters, Americans, Christians, patriots, and anybody that basically is a constitutionalist in that category. They're going to do this now for the next coming 5, 10, 20, 30 years. What'll happen is, once they say the lie long enough and they make the lie big enough, the next generation of children that never actually experienced this incident, that won't be old enough to remember it happening, they're going to be taught in the school system that this was one of the worst attacks that ever happened on the United States. And this is why the American population had to go into lockdown. This is why they had to purge the patriots. This is why they had to set up FEMA camps. And this is why they had to go after all the right-wing, gun-toted American Christians. This is why we had to do it, because of what happened on January 6th. That is what they're setting up right now from a psychological warfare standpoint. And most people don't realize it. They're too busy wrapped up in a lot of the small things that are going on. It is crucial that we continue to make sure the truth is absolutely documented, basically re-spoken and talked about on a regular basis of what really happened, who's the right people to basically actually put the blame on, just like Ted Nugent said. These FBI agents were federally protected. We've seen the same thing happen in numerous cases. ATF been involved on reported cases of gun running machine guns to multiple countries. One of the most profound ones that they got busted was Operation Fast and Furious, where they ran machine guns and 50 caliber weapons to the Mexican drug cartel. Then they used the excuse that it was Operation Fast and the Furious to run them the machine guns. And then they came back and said, well, whoopsie, we lost the guns. With this bad idea factory that we come up with all of our stupid ideas at, it was a bad idea. And, you know, we probably shouldn't have done it. And now there's all these machine guns everywhere. El Chapo's got 50 cals. There's border agents getting shot with AK-47s. You know, it was kind of a mistake. We'll try not to do it again. Well, if you look back from the CIA and the ATF's history of gun running all the way back to the Iran-Contra affair and everything else all in between, you see that it wasn't an accident. It's been a regular occurrence on a regular basis. The FBI has been the same way on certain factions of that government entity. So what we have to do now is we have to continue to expose the truth of what's happening, and we have to continue to wake people up on what's really occurring. Because if we don't keep speaking the truth and be vocal about it, grossly vocal about it, militant about the actual truth, what they will do is they will drown out our voices, they will rewrite digital history, and they will teach our younger generation that essentially what happened in the Capitol building was an organic insurrection by American patriots that tried to overthrow the United States of America with a full-blown coup d'etat, when it was complete opposite. We were simply there to try to maintain a constitutional republic the best we could, and certain individuals and provocateurs instigated certain things to happen, and police opened up gates and let protesters in, and certain people walked into the Capitol building, most of which were completely and totally walking through peaceful, and a few of them were being violently aggressive, and that in turn caused the reason why the United States is where it is now, was because of this incident. That's what they're teaching. If you look back and watch the movie The Hunger Games, it's a very, very clear depiction of where they want this to go, with the top global elite living in their paramount city and all the other worker bees essentially in their districts. And what they say is, you listen to the beginning of it, when he's talking about it, when basically Mr. Snow, he's talking about, he said, there was an insurrection and there was a great war and all this stuff happened because the people wanted to revolt. And now we do this hunger game every single year as you paying your penance to essentially revolting that one time in that war. That is exactly what they're setting up this incident to be. The fact that they're even remotely describing this and comparing it to the Holocaust and Pearl Harbor and 9/11 is so insulting to the people that made it through those situations and the people that died in those situations. It is egregious to me. And quite frankly, the fact that nobody is getting on national television and absolutely lambasting them and calling them out for what they are shows you it's a full-blown psychop hacket job to do exactly what they're doing, and to rewrite the actual events that occurred to make it follow their narrative, Doug.
You know, you are so right in that entire segment. You're 100% correct. And, you know, I remember about January 6th. And by the way, what was going on in the months, right after that, I should say, in the months after January 6th? It's only a statue, right? Go ahead and take down the statue of that white oppressive slave owner. That the other statue. Look what happened in New York City Council chambers, taking out, I believe it was, what was it, Jefferson or Franklin, one of the founders. You're seeing history erased, so you're exactly right. I want you to take a look at this image. You had mentioned about what kids are being taught. Jack Posobiec had put this up. This is a teacher. Now look at this picture, folks. This is a teacher teaching about hashtag January 6th, hashtag Capitol riot today. Isn't she proud? By the way,
wow.
Okay, yeah, on the whiteboard, wearing a white mask and white shoes, look, I'm triggered by this, but I digress. Multicultural democracy versus white supremacy. This is the bullshit that is being taught to our kids by these punks, by these, whatever that is, okay, whatever she thinks she is. And you want to have your kids, you know, this is why we need to take over our schools. This is why, you know, FBI, you can call me a friggin' domestic terrorist all friggin' day long. I don't care. You teach my grandchildren this, I'm going to come into your classroom and I'll give you what for. All right. It ain't happening. It's a bunch of crap. Go ahead.
What's funny is where there is any comparison about a constitutional republic, a multiracial democracy versus white supremacy.
What the hell is that?
That's the only two options that she puts on the board. We can have a multiracial democracy, which the United States is not a democracy, or white supremacy. Again, it's exactly what I just said, Doug. They're going to rewrite history. They're going to do everything they can to completely and totally subjugate the United States history and rewrite it in their viewpoint. That's why the Civil War now is just simply a little footnote of Western history. They talk about, the South didn't want to give up slaves and Lincoln wanted to free them. And so there's a big war over it. And basically the South lost and the North won and the slaves were freed. The end. That's literally the story of it, which is a complete and total lie. The Southern states started to rebel and wanted to form their own union because of unjust taxation, because the North kept taxing them unjustly and saying, we're raising your tax, we're raising your tax, we're raising your taxes, so they could continue to live in their extremely flourished lives and with their lifestyle, because they were insolvent, because they didn't produce anything up there like most Democratic-controlled states do. They don't produce much of anything, so they have to keep sucking money from the lifeblood of actual workers. And finally, the Southern states said, you know what? Piss on you, North. I'm done with you. We're going to start our own United States. And the thing ensued, and a lot of people don't realize, the Emancipation Proclamation that so many people try to credit Abraham Lincoln for doing, for freeing the slaves, only freed the slaves in wartime Southern states. It didn't free the slaves in the entire country. It was simply, there is a war tactic to break the backbone of the South of any slaves that were actually working with their plantation owners and defending their property in the Civil War as militia. That was the only reason the Emancipation Proclamation was even written and signed. It was a war tactic. And then everybody just wants to conveniently forget Sherman's March to the Sea, where he drove from Atlanta all the way to Savannah with a 60-mile swath, burning down every town, every house, every grain silo, eating all the livestock, literally taking the railroad tracks and heating them up and wrapping them around trees, nicknaming them Sherman's bow ties, so the railroads could not get any grain or any food to the cities or out of the cities in the Southern states, because Atlanta was basically the heart of the South at that point. It took it all the way and burned it all the way to the sea at the very end of the war, when the war is pretty much already over. We're gonna ignore that. Civil War is all about slavery. That's the only reason it happened. No, this is what they do. They rewrite history to put it in their narrative so they can continue their unbelievably stupid lies. And the problem is, people believe them. Exactly what you were talking about earlier with the kids with the mask. The masks are 110% being used as an experiment, as a goal to train the children into be good little peasants. I saw an article earlier now. There's like six schools over in England that like 80, 90% of the kids are refusing to wear masks now. And now that they don't know what to do, we don't know what to do. We can't expel everybody. They said in one school, only 67 kids out of 1,300 were willing to wear a mask. All the other kids said, piss on it. We're not wearing masks anymore. We're done wearing masks. And I've told this people before. It's our responsibility for our health. It's not your responsibility to wear a mask because Bo Hump Hillbilly over here wants to sit in his electric chair and drive around at 550 pounds and eat 20 cheese pizzas a day and be an absolute unbelievably sweat hog fat hillbilly. And say, you need to wear a mask for my protection, bro. I got comorbidities because I'm 600 pounds. You got to wear a mask because of me. Excuse me? Why don't you go lift weights and stop stuffing your face? I saw yesterday I had to go to the hospital. I got basically a hard cast back on my wrist now, which finally, and I had to go to Orlando and get basically x-rays done. And long story short, it's interesting, as you already know, I've refused to wear a mask anywhere. And so they pulled the splint off and they basically told me to go down to this other room for x-rays. So I got a broken radius, right? Broken in the joint. And they're telling me to go down, transfer me down this other room. So I'm going around, no splint. They take my splint off, take everything off, completely exposed arm. They go sit me down in a room with all these other people. Me and Ted go sit in there. And all of a sudden, we're sitting in there. And this lady comes in, and she goes, this nurse, she goes, you have to wear a mask immediately. I looked at her, and I'm like, dude, my wrist is broke. Y'all took the splint off for whatever odd reason. I don't know why we didn't take this off in the x-ray room. I said, I'm hurting. I'm not wearing a mask right now. Oh, well, I can help you put a mask on. I looked at her and said, I don't need help putting on a mask. And she goes, well, you have to wear a mask. I said, no, I don't have to do anything. She goes, well, you have to sit outside there. I'm going to call security and have you escort off the premises. Now I'm in a precarious situation. Now they've taken my splint and thrown it away. I'm now in the middle of this waiting room with eight other people. Me and Ted are sitting there. My arm's completely exposed, still broken and swollen. I'm trying to get x-rays to figure out what's going on with it. And I said, you know what? Piss on you. I'll go sit out in the hallway. I'll drag my chair out in the hallway. And I said, in front of the whole room, I said, I will go sit out in the hallway like a cockroach on a chair with a broken arm in the middle of the hallway with stretchers and wheelchairs going past me, which is unbelievable liability to the hospital. I'll go do that because you want me to wear a mask and I'm not wearing one. And I don't want to be kicked out of the hospital right now because I have to have x-rays on this. So I go out there, pull a chair out there, one other chair. Well, Ted grabs another chair. And she goes, you can't take the chair out there. He goes, no, I'm taking a chair out there. I'm calling security if you take the chair out there. He's like, okay, I'm going to go sit up there with my son. You want us to go sit in the hallway like we're roaches? We'll go sit in the hallway. So we're sitting out in the hallway. But all of a sudden, this supervisor lady comes up. Tiffany, she's actually really nice. She comes up. She goes, what in the world's going on? I said, well, I've been banished to the hallway. I said, I have a broken radius right here. They took my splint off. Now they're refusing to give me x-rays unless I wear a mask. And simply, I have nothing on my arm and I need x-rays and I have to sit out here in the waiting room until I can get x-rays out in the hallway. Then she goes, this isn't good. I said, no, it's not good. I said, you know what kind of liability exposure it is for your hospital that you just kicked a patient out with a broken radius into the hallway to sit in a chair, breaking fire code in the middle of the hallway with wheelchairs and gurneys going around me while I'm trying to protect my arm that's not splinter or cast right now? Yeah, it's not a good look at all for you. And she goes, hold on a second. She comes back with an iPad. She goes, here, take these masks, just hold them up. Just, I got to get you out of here. I'll take you right in the x-ray room. I'll get you right up to the PA immediately. This is not what we're trying to do here. I said, I'm not trying to do anything. I said, I'm not wearing a mask and I need my arm x-ray. She goes, okay. So we walk in the x-ray room. She goes, well, can you pull them up? I said, yeah, sure. So I put the mask on my beard, like it was sitting like on my beard. So I got a nice big beard diaper. I said, yeah, that's fine. Let's do the x-ray real quick. As soon as I walk in the x-ray room, I pulled my mask off, did the x-rays. They escorted us right up to the room, didn't put it on one single time up there. They finally saw me. They said, hey, guess what? Your wrist is healing up really good. They took me in the cast room. They're basically doing my cast. Ted walked out in the basically big room where all the nurses are. And he goes out there and they're all in there in the nurse room. And there's about 10 of them. None of them are wearing masks. And he goes, hey, I need to see when are they going to be doing this. And all of a sudden they all turn around and pull their mask up and start putting masks on. Oh, and what? They'll be there in a second. You guys are basically next in line. And he starts laughing. He comes in the room laughing. He goes, Austin, nobody basically in the nurse area is wearing a mask at all. I said, I know they're not, Dad. I said, it's called theater. It's called psychological training. They're teaching people to follow orders and not ask questions and obey anything they're told to do. I guarantee you, if you did it long enough and you made the lie big enough, you could tell people, get on your knees and lick the floor. The floor has anti-COVID properties to it. And if you lick the floor, you won't get COVID. And I said, I promise you, if you said that long enough, you would have people on the floor licking the floor. If you told them to do it long enough, they would do it. He goes, yeah, I know. And so they basically cast him arm. I actually got in and out extremely fast. I think they just wanted me out of the building, honestly.
Yeah. Austin hurt his paw. Unbelievable. And you know how insane this has gotten? Did you see this? Okay, now, by the way, folks, we're going to have a Patreon meeting this Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Patreon meeting this Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. But, hey, look, because it's a Zoom meeting, okay, this is a real thing, all right? And obviously, I was just joking about this, but this is a real thing, Zoom meeting protocol. Folks, read this. This is an organization meeting by Zoom. And I'll read it. It says, I'm writing you all today to inform you of a new protocol for our staff Zoom meetings. Now, think about this. Moving forward, everyone will be required to wear a mask during our meetings. Wait a second. Zoom meeting. You're at your office. Yeah. Zoom. One of our team members has a fear of unmasked people. When in the hell did that become a thing? You know what? Whoever that team member is needs to be treated, not treated by others wearing a mask, but medically or mentally treated. So, and I want to make sure everyone feels safe and comfortable. Are you out of your friggin' minds? All of you who are mask holes, you're out of your friggin' minds. And I'll tell you something. Next time I get told to put a mask on, okay? Don't. Just like Austin, don't. And I live in a blue friggin' area, too. And there are plenty of, you see people walking around with 2-3. And it's because A, fear, or B, they want to project themselves as doing the right thing, but being better than everyone else. And you know, there are some people that just wear them to get along and, okay, I'll just, you know what? That's the problem. If you're one of those people, stop it. Stop it, or else this is going to go on forever. Go ahead, sir.
No, you're 100% right, Doug. And what's interesting, you know, when I was in that waiting room and all the people are sitting there, and, you know, you can tell they were kind of looking at me when I'm yelling at the girl, she's yelling at me. I'm literally sitting there with a broken wrist. I mean, completely vulnerable. I hate this feeling. I hate breaking bones. I've broken one a long time. It's not a good feeling, especially when I have a hard cast on. You know, now I got a cast. I mean, if somebody wants to get in a fight with this, I mean, I'll bonk them in the nose with it. I'll stop everything real quick. But I'm completely exposed wrist. And now I'm sitting here in this argument with this lady. Now I'm sitting there going, okay, security comes up. Now I got a broke wrist on top of all this. Now I'm basically going to go out in the hallway just to get x-rays. And quite frankly, I never even would have put a mask up to my chin to walk in the x-ray room if I wouldn't have had an exposed wrist and I needed x-rays. I never even would have done that. The problem is I had at that point, I had no situation. I was like, dude, now I have no splint. They threw that away. Now I have no cast. They won't take me in here. I need x-rays. And that's why I was so non-compliant. But I simply did that just to walk in the door, and then I pulled it right off. So I was like, at this point, I'm in the x-ray room. They're not going to drag me out of the x-ray room forcibly. Now I'm done. But what's so stupid, Doug, is that when I was in there, all these people are looking at me in the waiting room. They're all wearing masks. They're all looking at me with these big eyes. Like, you know, some of them are probably thinking, golly, this guy's really staunching his beliefs. Other people are like, this guy's nuts. I can't believe he just won't put a mask on. And I'm sitting there going, imagine if everybody in the group, even just 20% other than me. So I think there was 8-9 people in there besides me. So you figure at least another 2 or 3 people stood up and they said, you know what? This isn't right. You're treating him like this. I'm not wearing a mask either. No, I'm not wearing a mask. And 1 or 2 other people walked up and said, no, I'm not wearing a mask either. You can't treat people like this. The kid's got a broken wrist right now. You're going to kick him outside, make him sit out in the hall? I'm not doing this. None of us are wearing a mask. All of a sudden, old Bumblefoom RN, that's basically the definition of clown show, delusional psychosis in its prime example, should have been like, oh, crap. Now there's multiple of them mad. Now there's multiple of them non-compliant. Now what do I do? And that's, again, exactly the predicament we would put everybody in if people would stop complying. The problem with it is we're seeing 80 to 90% of everybody comply everywhere you go for the most part, and nobody wants to say anything. And this is how it ends. This is how you end up on the last train to Auschwitz. This is how you end up in Nazi Germany. This is how you end up in communist Russia. People always ask, how did these people let it get to this? How did they watch people get drug out of their homes in Nazi Germany for simply being Jewish or being Christian or speaking something out against Hitler or being a gypsy, and watch them get drug off by the SS and hauled off and never seen again? How did they let that happen? Well, it's like the old adage goes, they came for the Jews and I wasn't Jew, so I didn't care. They came for the Christians and I wasn't a Christian, but I didn't mind. Then they basically came for more people and I wasn't them. I was fine. Well, then they came for me and there was nobody left to even speak for me. I was on my own and they took me. You know, basically paraphrasing it. And that's exactly where we're at right now. People haven't begun to realize that this is going to get extremely violent and extremely aggressive with a large percentage of the population if people don't actually start growing a set and stand up and say, no, man, I'm not going to comply with this. I'm done with this. We're going to find out today or the next couple days what the Supreme Court rules on this. If the Supreme Court rules against the Constitution and they show us that they're 100% compromised entity and they're in favor of basically a new world order, government control of you and forcing you to get a shot, we're going to see a very, very, very mass civil war in this country. I'm telling you that right now. I know a lot of people in this country that this shot has been their line in the sand now for good reason. And I've said this repeatedly and I've tried to encourage people the best I can. Anytime you allow an individual, doesn't matter if it's a government or a business or anybody, to tell you what you have to have injected inside of your body completely against any type of normalcy, any type of background of reliability, any type of testing, you realize real quick that basically this isn't okay. Now, good thing about this is something that we are starting to see. And this happened yesterday. We'll see how this plays out. A federal judge, District Judge Mark Pittman, has now rejected previous arguments from the FDA after it said it will take up to possibly 2096 to complete the Freedom of Information Act on the Pfizer COVID-19, basically taking another 75 years. They said, though the agency said it could only process and publish around 500 pages each month, which is a lie, Pittman said it would have to pick up the pace and is ordering to put out 55,000 pages per month in the same time span. This means the release of the document must be hastened by more than 100 times. The court concluded that the FOIA request is of paramount public importance, the judge wrote, adding that a drastically quicker release schedule is not only practical, but necessary and required. The FDA is now releasing roughly 12,000 pages by the end of the month and must drastically speed up that release by March. It must also issue a joint status report detailing the process of the rollout by April and then 3 months after. The initial claiming it would take 55 years to release the data. Pfizer and the feds then elongated the time span another 20 years to go. The original FOIA request was filed by attorney Aaron Siri on behalf of public health and medical professionals. Siri describes the FDA initial attempt to delay the release as dystopian, asking why the government could fund Pfizer to the tunes of tens of billions of dollars, then shield them from lawsuits, then deny the American public the 451,000-page document about the shot that the administration is trying to make mandatory. This is nothing short of full-blown dystopian nightmare, he said. But I'm sure a company that tries to delay full disclosure of data on a vaccine for 75 years has a history of rampant corruption and can totally be trusted to roll out a safe shot. The attorney called the district court ruling a great win for transparency and will eliminate the government's stranglehold on the vaccine data. Now, we'll see if that actually holds up and the FDA doesn't try to get an injunction or something stupid against it. But there's a reason why the Federal Reserve and the Federal Bank in the United States is giving Pfizer tens of billions of dollars for a shot that they're shielded against, that they tell everybody's safe, but refuse to give the paperwork out for 75 years on it and then try to mandate everybody to get it right now. If people can't realize there's a much, much, much bigger play behind the scenes than simply, it's for your safety. Obviously, it's not for your safety. Obviously, it's not for your health. And obviously, it's not for your protection. That's why every single topic, including high doses of vitamin C, zinc and quercetin stacked together, which we promote clearly on our show, we have on our website in the kits, the basically the D3 10,000 K2. We've seen hundreds and hundreds of people have great results from whether it be COVID, whether it be a normal flu, whether it be simply the common cold, kicking that stuff out very quickly. When you see the government suppress all of that, censor all of that, tell you you're not allowed to talk about natural treatment, you're not allowed to talk about early onset protocols, you're not allowed to talk about anything, you simply have to get the shot that doesn't work for your protection, even though everybody's dying from it, it should cause some massive questions. It was funny, the guy that was doing my cast yesterday, really, really good guy, 55 years old, been doing it like his whole life, did a really good cast job on me. dad asked him, we're sitting there. He goes, have you been ejected? He goes, yeah, I've had both shots. And then he looked at us. He goes, not like it works. He goes, almost everybody I know that gets the shot keeps coming down with COVID. He said, so I'm not really sure what the point of this stupid injection was. He said, we pretty much all got it here because we wanted to keep our jobs. I said, well, why didn't you get a religious exemption? He said, man, there were so much issues with it. I didn't want to deal with the hassle. I didn't want to deal with the hassle. That's the problem the United States has fallen into now. I don't want to deal with the hassle or the conflict. Shoot me up in the arm. Get this over with. The problem that nobody has bothered to figure out, this isn't going to be over with you getting the shot. The third shot is now saying it's going to be required to be fully vaccinated. The fourth shot that the CEO of Pfizer already said is in play and will be ready to go by February will be then required as the next phase to get shot up. They're going to push this into perpetuity as long as people keep complying and as long as nobody says no. I don't need help putting a mask on because I'm not wearing a mask. No, I'm not needing a shot because I'm not getting a shot. Until people start pushing back that aggressively and that militantly, this isn't going to stop. They're going to push it until the country is so sick and so disgusted and so ridden in the hospital with problems. Then they're going to turn around and blame it on all of us that haven't been injected, that are all healthy and say, well, somehow they got some natural immunity, but they're the ones that are giving it to everybody. They're asymptomatic super spreaders, and that's why the shot isn't working. That's already what they're working on in the narrative right now, and that is why it is crucial we get the truth out there about natural nutrition and taking care of your body and staying strong so we can at least take a step back and say, hey, listen, I didn't get the shot. I've stayed healthy. I got antibodies. I recovered for it. I'm not playing along with your game, and I am not going along with your delusional theater you want me to play along with, Doug.
You know, yeah, I just want to avoid the hassle, which the excuse, or I just wanted to get this over with. I'm going to tell you something, folks. You've got no idea what's in that devil's semen, whatever, the satanic semen you're putting in your you got no idea what's in there. And people say, well, it's safe and effective. Yeah, show me the data. Well, yeah, we'll show it to you in 2099 or whatever it is, right? After you're long dead. You have multitudes between the VAERS reporting system. And don't tell me, folks, that VAERS is not. I mean, look, it's authoritative to a point, but VAERS is underreported by a factor of at least 10. This is an accepted statistic. You've got the yellow card system in the UK. But here's the key, and here's what's criminal, and here's what I believe needs to look. I lost a friend. I lost a good friend. Just very recently. All right, he did not get a chance to spend Christmas with his family, my age. And I went to school with him actually. And he came to me too late, early treatment. And what's an early treatment look like? A foundation for early treatment is healthmasters.com, the quercetin, the zinc, and the D3, K2, and the C. Listen to me. Quercetin, zinc, D3, K2, and vitamin C, along with the ultimate multiple. If you don't have that on your shelf right now, and if you're not taking that right now, I want you to stop right now, stop listening and stop watching. Go to your computer and order it, please. And start taking it every single day. I don't care if you have to put your car payment off, okay? I don't care. Because your health is more important. Because when you can't breathe, you won't be thinking about your car payment, or whatever. Do it. Healthmasters.com. And you know, you could say, well, I'll just go to CVS. Or look, folks, you get what you pay for. Do you understand that? I've seen where this is made. I've seen the videos of the manufacturing process of these products, and they're the best. And and by the way, so healthmasters.com, let's get that taken care of right now. But Austin, the other part of this, the fact that you had Rick Bright and Judy Woodcock, FDA and Rick Bright from BARDA, laughing about putting hydroxychloroquine into this emergency use authorization, and finally for hospital use only when it's too damn late for it to be used any good. For Cuomo to shut off Dr. Zelenko for his, you know, hydroxychloroquine and or ivermectin use, which have been proven, and don't give me any of this crap that this has not been proven. These drugs are on the sanction list of the World Health Organization. They've been around forever, and they've shown antiviral properties. What's your problem, doctor? What's your problem, doctor? Yeah, you know who I'm talking to. Healthmasters.com, early treatment. That's what's going to save your. That's what's going to save you and your children. God, you know what? I'm with Alex Jones. I can't do this. I really don't feel like doing this anymore, because what I want to do is I want to fight. I want to fight because they're killing us out there. They're killing us. They're allowing us. Well, they're murdering us, but passively, because they're taking away our life saving. And it wouldn't surprise me one bit, Austin, that you get a call one day or a knock on the door one day and they say, you know what? You got to stop shipping this outside of Florida. You got to stop shipping it. It's illegal.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's so coming. Get it now.
A day's coming. That's why, Doug, we put together, we have the vitamin C antioxidant formula, the powder formula, and we have the capsules in stock, a small batch of them in stock right now. You can order over the phone. We'll have more in next week. But that's such a standalone because it's the vitamin C and the quercetin in one formula. And simply all you need to do is get the zinc and the D3. And what I've told people, if you're on a really tight budget, A, we already have the Doug 5 coupon out there to break it down. We have the kit already on sale that basically you can also get if you don't have the coupon code. And then on top of that, you can take low dosages on a regular basis. You don't have to burn through a bottle. And then what happens is if you have it on deck, if you start feeling under the weather, if you start getting a stuffy nose, if you start getting a sore throat, you feel the onset of getting sick. Nobody can say, well, man, I'm literally just walking around one day and I felt unbelievably good and bam, I got kicked in the face and I got a headache, stuffy nose, sore throat, and I got COVID and I'm laying on the ground and shivered. It doesn't happen that fast. It usually builds up for a day or two and you start noticing, man, I'm feeling run down, starting to get a headache, throat's getting sore, glands are getting tight, I'm waking up. No, then you go ahead and you start hammering the supplements. Then you start massive dosing, 2,000-3,000 milligrams of vitamin C 2 to 3 times a day. You take the D3, 2 to 20 to 30,000 IUs of D3 a day. The zinc, you take 100 milligrams a day. The quercetin's already in the vitamin C if you have it. And you'd be shocked on how fast you start bouncing out of stuff. And then worst possible case scenario, if you absolutely need to, have some ivermectin on hand. It's very easy to get ivermectin now with a lot of doctors around the country. You just have to ask around and figure out how to get it. That's another one of those ones. You get it, you set it, you forget it, you put it in the pantry and you keep it. I know a lot of people that can also order them basically from other pharmacies like in Canada and stuff. I know a lot of people that have been able to get them and prescribe and they've split them up between their family if they need them. There's all types of options to be preventative measures. The problem with it that we've run into now in this country, Doug, and you know as well as I do, nobody wants to be self-sufficient. Everybody wants to sit back on the couch. They want to say, well, fix me. I don't know what the problem is. Come fix me. It's not my problem. It's your responsibility. And this COVID has exacerbated that even further now, where people think it's not my responsibility to take care of myself. It's your responsibility to get an injection and wear a mask to protect me. Because remember, my shot doesn't work unless you get your shot, Doug.
That's right.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work. If I get my shot, you don't get your shot, I still can get sick because you don't have your shot.
That's right. You need to put your coat on so I don't get cold. That's the same mentality.
Quite frankly, you know, Doug, I'm thinking now, I think when we do our shows on Friday, we both need to wear masks because I don't want to offend you for not wearing a mask.
Well, I'm pretty well triggered, you know, by I don't know. Yeah, Zoom meetings, we must wear masks to get, this is so friggin' insane. It blows my mind. You know, I was Doug 5 coupon. I just want to make sure I got this Doug 5 coupon. Definitely get a hold of that and use that orders of Health Masters, but do it now and have it on hand. I hope tomorrow you are so. And tonight you are so busy with orders that you can't, you know, you have to hire extra staff because this is the only way. And look, I believe that whatever's floating around out there, we're going to be infected by this. But I also think, and let me ask you about this. Do you think 5G's got anything to do with this? Do you think that there's something else here? If there are nanoparticles in the serum, I don't know if there are or not. I don't know, folks. Do your own research, seriously. But if there are, do you think that they're receptive to radio frequency? I think they would be, right?
Oh, absolutely. There's no, well, here's two aspects of 5G that you basically know that the 5G is having an effect either one way or another. The millimeter wavelength with 5G is very nasty to the human tissue. They've looked at it in research. It disrupts everything. It basically makes everything unsettled. And so regardless if you basically have been injected or not injected, 5G is not healthy for you. That's a fact, especially close range proximity to it. That's a fact. They've looked at that in research. The injections, whatever's going into these people, whether or not it's the graphene oxide, whether the theory about basically the nanoparticles, I don't know. I haven't been injected with it. I'm not going to be injected with it. So I'm not going to personally know what's in this stuff. I just looked at the research from what doctors have said that have basically looked at it under a microscope. That's the only thing I can go after. So would that be affected by 5G if you have graphene oxide, a metallic metal that's conductive in your body? Absolutely. Well, taking the shot aside, is 5G going to have any impact on the body? 100%. The aspect of 5G and what it does, it was originally based basically as an active denial platform frequency that the military designed to be able to cause people to have great heating and discomfort from an extended period away without ever firing a shot. That being said, when 5G is basically put onto an individual or a subject, it also disrupts every aspect of their body and their mitochondria, including their immune system. So you have to look at it. If the 5G is floating around out there now, we know there's these 5G towers that are popping up left and right like Pez dispensers. You can't even count all of them now. You know that they're turned on all the time and they're trying to boost up the internet speed, which is a complete total lie. You know that it's going to disrupt the mitochondria and it's going to cause problems with the immune system overall, which means people are going to be more susceptible to contracting viruses and basically getting sick and getting colds, getting the flu, whatever you want to call it. So that being said, that is my biggest concern about 5G. Whether or not it has an impact with the nanoparticles and the graphene oxide, I personally think, yes, a lot of that stuff's in there, but I can't prove it. So it's kind of one of those theories that we're still working on right now. But 100%, if you take both of those, you can combine them, disrupting the immune system while injecting people with graphene oxide and then hitting them with a 5G wavelength frequency, oh my gosh. You're talking about causing all types of health problems, hence why people are getting so unbelievably sick all the time. And then you take it a step further and you put out a test, 500 million tests across the country that are pretty much going to test positive for any type of viral exposure. They show that now in the PCR test. PCR tests test positive for COVID when you test it with Coca-Cola. They did that in the Parliament video. And then you take a step back and you say, okay, well, if somebody goes to the hospital and they're super sick after they get the shot and exposed to 5G and they take a test because they basically have this viral load in their body and the PCR test picks it up. And now what do? We put them in the hospital? We put them on remdesivir, which has been directly known to shut down organ, basically kidneys and the liver within 3 to 5 days. The most common side effect from remdesivir, according to Wikipedia and on the side of the box, is respiratory failure. The next one is acute kidney and liver failure. Those are the primary side effects from remdesivir. So then they come out and they say, well, he died from COVID. COVID attacked his kidneys and his liver. No, it didn't. There's been zero research to basically support that theory at all. Zero. Remdesivir is causing people organ and liver failure. And every single time, Doug, every time I have researched into somebody's medical history, I've had their family look into it, and they've died in the hospital, every single time that somebody's died in the hospital, that I personally know, they were given remdesivir at some point in time. Every single time. Every person I know that's gone in the hospital that has not been given remdesivir was able to get out of it if they took the right nutrients and they basically took the right supplements, including throwing in some ivermectin on top of the vitamin C, quercetin, and zinc. It is crucial. If you or your family member goes to the hospital, you ask questions about what they're injecting in you. Ivermectin is intravenous. They will try to hook you up to an IV immediately and tell you they're hitting you with fluids. They will get you to sign off and then say, do you want to be treated? Are you consenting to be treated for COVID? You click yes on the box. They will then hook you up to another IV and it will have remdesivir in it. They will pump it into your veins until they kill you. I've watched it personally with numerous friends of mine, and it's not something we can be quiet about anymore, Doug.
No, not at all. And remember, hey, it's just a mask. No, it's not. It's just 14 days. It's just this. It's just that. No, it's not. It's our future. That's right, brother. Hey, healthmasters.com, Doug Five, use the coupon code. I want to see everybody there ordering up their immune boosting materials, as I said, plus all of their nutritional supplements. You are the best. You know, the antidote for treason is the Ted and Austin Brewer Show and the Hagman Report. The antidote for toxicity is healthmasters.com. Brother, thank you very much, my friend.
Have a great week, my friend.
You too. All right, that'll do it for us. May God bless you. God save the United States. And good night, everyone. Have a great weekend. Patreon meeting this Sunday.